The Fan on Demand. Now more of the Andrew Crystal Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Andrew Crystal with you. Mark Hominick is going to join me shortly.
Can you tell me another performance within the last, 15 years gutsier than Hominick's? I can't think of one. And when we finish visiting with Mark Hominick, I want you to talk about what you saw at UFC 129 with Mark. And I want you to reflect upon the heroic quality of that bout. You know, Hominick stole the show. This Canuck went into the octagon at the Rogers Center. And, you know, he's got his featherweight championship bout. He's got 60,000 screaming people. And Aldo has really, really, you know, pounded him. And his forehead explodes, basically grows a second head. It was one of the grossest things I've ever seen. And wouldn't you agree with me? Have you ever seen anything like that before? You know, I know boxing has had its injuries of that nature, but I just hadn't seen anything flower like that, like Mark Hominick's head. And they don't stop the fight. Instead, Hominick goes in the final round to totally dominate his opponent. He's on top of him. He's getting the hammer blows in. And it was one of the gutsiest things I've ever seen. Joining me now, the one, the only, Mark Hominick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Are you a father yet, sir?
We're still waiting. I'm on the clock right now. I didn't know if it was your phone or my wife, so we're waiting by the phone right now.
If you have to hang up, I will not be offended.
Okay, thank you.
Mark, how is your head, for God's sake?
Oh, it was superficial. It looked a lot worse than it was. You know, I got a little, you know, a couple pair of black eyes, but, you know, the swelling's down, and it looked a lot worse than it was in the fight.
Did you see images from the fight? Did you see what you looked like?
I'm trying to avoid some of them. But,
you look like the elephant man up there, for God's sake. It was nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was a superficial, and those hematomas is just like, that's the, thank you. That, you know, it just happens in the fight. It was just the swelling there. There's nowhere for the swelling to go, you know, like, because you're not cut or anything, and it just stockpiles there.
So
it definitely looks a lot worse than it was in the fight.
Mark, what happened after the fight? How did they treat your forehead?
I went to the hospital, got a CAT scan, did all, you know, everything there, make sure nothing's broken. Nothing was broken. CAT scan was completely fine. I put some ice on it, and within 2 hours, the swelling was gone.
So they didn't lance it or anything? They just...
No, nothing crazy like that. Just some ice.
And how is it now? Are you okay now?
You know, both eyes are black and blue, and, you know, a little swelling in the face, but nothing serious. I'm wearing sunglasses, and I can hide under them.
What a warrior. Amazing. Okay, Mark, I've never cheered for a fighter more than I've cheered for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was standing up. I couldn't sit down. I mean, everybody was standing up. So,
you know, I've been hearing that from everybody, you know, like everyone's like, oh, I lost my voice screaming at the TV. And, you know, it's one of those fights. You just get instantly emotionally attached, you know, especially that late in the fight. And, you know, to come back, I know everybody wanted to finish the fight as bad as I did.
Okay, now, Aldo took a lot of shots from you in that final round.
Yeah.
He must have been happy to have the timer go.
Oh, I think he, you know, with the 4 minute mark, I think he was waiting for that bell to ring. But, you know, that's just it. I was giving everything I had in my effort to finish the fight because I knew I was down. You know, aside from the knockdowns, you know, I believe it was pretty close. You know, throughout the fight, he just had heavy hands. And, you know, anytime he landed a clean punch, he did damage. And I think that was the difference in the fight.
Now, when did you know that you were starting to do damage on him? Now, you're on top of him, right? And you're putting the hammer blows on him. Did you feel your fists connecting with his face?
Oh, I know. Like, you know, every couple of shots, I'd land a hard shot, and I could just see it in his eyes. He was just, as much as he's a champion, and you know, he's going to go out swinging. He was wanting that bell to ring. There's no question. Like he was in there in survival mode, you know, as opposed to, you know, defending and attacking. you know, he was waiting for that bell to ring. And again, I think he thought he had the fight in the bag at that point. So I think he was just trying to survive that last round.
When did you feel that you hurt Aldo?
You know what? I hurt him early. A lot of people were talking about he was getting tired, but I think he was tired because I hit him in the body. You know, and even in the first round, I hit him with a couple hard liver shots. That's like my patented punch. And I always attack the body on everybody, and it takes your will to fight. And I think that's why he changed up the game plan and took him to the mat.
Aldo also had to drop weight to make the match. So yep. I think you hit him. But I saw those body shots. You were laying everything on him.
For sure. And, you know, like, yeah, he had a long layoff in between fights. So I think he did put on a little bit more muscle in between fight. And, you know, getting down was maybe a little tougher than it has been in the past. But, you know, don't discredit the damage I did with the body
shots.
Mark
Hominick joins me on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. Did you see Aldo's face after? He was pretty messed up.
For sure. You know, like, it was a war, and we got fight of the night for a reason. You know, he did a lot of damage, but like I said, like I inflicted a lot of damage on him, and I almost had to finish in the fifth round.
Now, let's talk about the crowd. Let's talk about the crowd. Sometimes athletes will talk about the crowd, and they're just, you know, acknowledging the crowd, and it's not real, because the crowd likes to think it has an effect on fighters or athletes. And sometimes that's the case. And other times fighters or athletes are in the zone and they're blocking everything out. You fed off the crowd. Let's talk about the importance of the crowd with you, Mark Hominick, in the ring with Aldo and pulling defeat into almost victory.
Yeah, no question. That last minute, the crowd carried me. You know, every punch I threw, it was largely in part to the crowd's momentum and the people on their feet, stomping their feet, you know, the noise that was generated from the crowd. You know, because I'm one of these fighters, I try to fight without any emotion, if that makes any sense. You know, like, I'm always focused at the task at hand, you know, whether there's five people or 55,000 people. You know, like, and that's the honest truth. Like, when the fight started, you know, it didn't feel to me like there was any more people than I fought in front of before. But that last minute, I was carried by the crowd, no question.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When you're on top of Aldo and you're pounding him in the head, you grab, because there was a hammer blow to his face, a few of them. Did you hear the crowd roar every time you popped him?
Oh, it was just like a constant stream. That's what I was hearing, you know, and it just made me try that much harder. You know, like I think I proved that, you know, there's no quit in me. And, you know, I'm not going in there just to, like, I knew I was supposed to go in there, and I wasn't supposed to make it out of the first round, and I was trying to finish him. I wanted.
What did Dana White? What did Dana White and the other UFC people say to you after the?
Oh, they were thrilled, and, you know, they were just like, you know, heal up, and we want you back as soon as you can. And they're like, you know, another two fights, you'll get another crack at the title. And I know some of the things I have to work on to take him out, and I don't think he'd be lined up to fight me, to tell the honest truth.
Now, Aldo is one of the best in his weight class. I mean, you say he's got heavy hands, right?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. What? How hurt were you? We're watching this thing, and I couldn't believe, you know, how gross it became with your head, Mark Hominick.
Yeah.
But how badly were you hurt?
It wasn't that bad. Like, it was superficial. It looked a lot worse than it was. Like, any of those hematomas, they look so grotesque and whatnot, but it wasn't affecting my vision. It wasn't affecting anything. He was one of those fighters that, like, every clean shot he landed, he did a damage with. Where, you know, I've taken some of those punches from other fighters and walked through them. You know, he just had heavy hands, and, you know, he's a champ, and he's a champ for a reason. And I, you know, when you're in there with that, you have to take it to him, and that's what I did in the fifth. It's just, you know, it was almost too little too late.
Mark Hominick, tell me about your relationship with the referee who didn't stop the fight.
John McCarthy knows me on a personal level as well as a professional level, and that was a huge addition to have him, because some refs would have stopped that fight. But he knows that the person I am, the way I train, the condition that I'm in, and you can see it in the fifth. You know, not only was I not going to quit, I also had the capability of coming back and finishing. So it was a good thing that he was ref in the fight, because he knows me on a personal level. And he's watched me train, and he knows the kind of athlete I am. And like I said, with those hematomas, like, they're definitely scary. And as a ref and as a doctor, they're definitely scary to look at. But, you know, if you know, like, it's not affecting anymore. Like, if it was a cut, then the fight would be over. Like, if it was equally damaging cut, the fight would have been over, you know. So, you know, it looked a lot worse.
So your injury wasn't as bad as GSP's, who couldn't see.
But I mean, I don't think so. Like, I was fine. I mean, I was firing all pistons. It looked really bad. And like I said, I went to the hospital. I got a CAT scan after the fight. I did all the medicals. There's nothing broken, you know, no orbital bone, no, you know, cheekbone or anything like that. There's nothing broken in my face. The CT scan came back clear. Everything was fine. It definitely looked worse.
Now, you have been suspended for 60 days by UFC as a precautionary measure.
By the commission.
All right. So you've got to do another CT before you can return?
Yeah, so I'm getting a checkup today at University Hospital here in London, and just to go over with one of the docs and make sure everything's all right. But no, I'm look a lot worse than I am.
Now, I understand you're naming your child after me. If it's a boy, it's Andrew. If it's a girl, it's Andrea. Is that correct?
Well, that's in debate with my wife. It was up to me. I'd think about it.
Okay, I want to talk about your music, your entrance music. Did you choose this? Do you have it, Lance? Here we go.
Hello?
Yeah, I've got your music.
Oh, you put it on.
I'm putting it on.
Yeah.
There we go. Here's the Mark Hominick entrance music. The fighter who stole the show at UFC 129. He looked down and out. Then he got on top of Aldo and pounded the crap out of him. Okay, is that your music? Where does it come from?
It's a new Diddy Dirty Money. It's a P. Diddy song. I just thought it was fitting, you know, coming home, you know, the first time I get to fight in front of my live, you know, family and friends in Ontario. You know, this is this is my 10th year fighting professionally and just, you know, finally getting to fight in front of the home crowd. And I thought it was very fitting for the situation. I know the crowd really loved it.
How many people did you have to get tickets for, Mark?
Well, the numbers went down because they knew my hands were tied, but I know half my high school was there for sure. So it was pretty cool. Hey,
because, Mark, you know, remember me? Remember me?
Yeah. That was pretty cool, though. You know, like, because it was a big fight for all of them because, you know, they've known me since I've been, you know, 5 years old. And, you know, to see where I've came, I'm from a town of 2,500 people, you know, and to be fighting in the biggest UFC of all time, fighting for the world belt. And then putting on a fight like that, you know, everybody was emotionally involved in that fight.
It was unbelievable. So where do you go?
Definitely I wanted the belt, and that's where my mindset's at now. I know I can win it, and I just got to go back and, you know, go back to the to winning, get on a winning streak, and
okay,
get another shot at the title.
Mark Hominick, what is your group, what are your team, what are they saying about your next steps then with mixed martial arts in the UFC?
Take a guy who's maybe coming off a win and still in contention because I don't think that fight puts me to the bottom of the pile. You know, I'm still up there, the performance I put in there. Jose Aldo hasn't lost in 5 years. He's never been in any kind of trouble in any fight in 5 years, and I took him to his limit and I almost finished him in the fifth round. So people know that, you know, I'm for real, and I just have to go out there and prove it again.
How many shots away was Aldo before you would have him? Because it seems to me, now he's grabbing your hands, that kind of thing. If he'd have got another two or three more shots in.
You know, honestly, I think 30 seconds more, and I could have finished the fight. You know, I wasn't stopping, and he was fading. So that's just it. But again, the bell rung, and he won. So that's the way I got to look at it. He's the winner right now, and I got to go back to the drawing board and come back stronger.
Mark Hominick, congratulations on your pending fatherhood, and congratulations on your incredible bout Saturday at UFC 129 at the Rogers Center with a huge challenge against Jose Aldo, considered one of the best fighters in the class. And, you know, you hung in there, a heroic performance, one of the gutsiest athletic performances I've seen in years. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Mark Hominick, everybody. God bless you, Mark. Wow, what a Canuck. Coming back to talk to you about the gutsiest athletic performance you've ever seen. For me, nothing tops what I saw Mark Hominick do on Saturday night. This is Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Now more of the Andrew Crystal Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
All right, the bonus code is Mark Hominick. Do that before 3:50 p.m. today on fan590.com. And you win a prize pack from Pizza Nova. The code again was Mark Hominick, or just Hominick. Just Hominick. Do that at fan590.com. I don't know of a gutsier performance than Mark Hominick's on Saturday night. Aldo got his shots in early. Very consistent. You just heard Mark Hominick on talking about how heavy Aldo's hands were. He's a hell of a striker. But for me, it was the gutsiest performance I'd seen in what? Since, let's talk about the last 20 years or so. 25, whatever. I don't want to go as far back as Muhammad Ali and Frazier. Or Foreman. I just want to talk about sort of recent history. Not too ancient. For example, Wayne Gretzky's performance in Game 7 in Toronto, where he knocked out the Leafs. He took the team on his back and did it. That was Gretzky. Or Belfour's performance against Ottawa, in Ottawa. I mean, it was a shooting gallery. I mean, they were loaded. They had Chara. They had Redden when he was decent before he blew his game up. I mean, they were loaded. And Belfour stopped them all by great positional play. Occasionally you'll find a heroic performance, and it's amazing. And, you know, the Olympics can be a bit unfair, too, because, like, swimmers, they get a lot of medals, etc. I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about a performance where an athlete has taken you out of your seat, where an athlete has inspired you in some way, where you couldn't believe what was going on. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590 on your cell. Now, I wasn't expecting Hominick to do that. Nobody was. And when you see the hematosis display, and, you know, you're already, you know, your eyes are popping over that one, and then he is able to get Aldo down and start thrashing him and almost winning, I was amazed. And that has to really rank as one of the finest athletic performances I've ever seen. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Howard Berger will join us in a bit, as will Mr. Napier. Hear what's going on there? Two-time Stanley Cup champ Napier will join us to talk about his work with research to study and identify risk factors with brain injuries. And Dr. Brian Levine will also join us in that regard in a bit, too. And we'll talk to one of the green men of Vancouver. You know, the crazy fans that dress in those green suits? We've had them on. You may have heard them. Well, anyway, they're being shut down. Told to tone it down! Vancouver has that Toronto disease. So lots on the show. But as far as just heroic athletic performances go, what Mark Hominick did, for me, was a real head shaker. Ron and Kitchener, what say you?
How's she going, Andrew?
Good. Thanks for calling Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
As far as heroic performances go, one sprang to mind immediately was Joe Carter's home run in the World Series.
Huge.
Huge.
Winfield, too.
Yep. But everybody on that team played it up large.
But, yeah, that was, like, nothing gets more dramatic than that. Like, baseball, this is the thing that I find funny about baseball. It's got so many contradictions, right? It can be so, you know, kind of lazy and slow or whatever, but the drama of baseball and the batter-pitcher duel is, I don't know anything like it. I mean, it was an incredible moment, and you could feel Mitch Williams fall apart, right? The wild thing was, you know, he was throwing around the barn. He was walking guys. It was getting weird. You could see the pressure just building, old wild thing, Mitch Williams. But at the same time, you think about all the saves that Williams had that year. This guy was, he got it done. He won ugly. But remember Heart Attack Hanky? He did that too. The guy won ugly. But there was something in the air when Carter got to that plate. Do you remember that? And it's like he willed the bat to the ball. That was a very, very heroic moment in sport. There's no question about that. Amazing stuff. Touch them all, Joe. Chris in Toronto.
Hi. I was just thinking back to the year 2000 when Tiger Woods won the United States Open by 15 shots. And not only was it an heroic performance, but I think it totally changed the game of golf. And the way that the professional golfers on tour reacted to that, I think they felt totally defeated.
What about in 2008 when he won the U.S. Open on the bum knee?
Well, I mean, that's really the topper as well. I mean, to think he was able to do that, and basically he was playing on a broken leg.
Remember the Masters chip shot that Tiger made?
Yes, I do.
That was outrageous. And just when you thought the Tiger was down and out and may have fluffed it, it was almost like his super talent was teasing everyone. And then he just did that to push himself to another level, which he attained. Those were the days. But it's time for Bruce Springsteen to sing Glory Days, because Tiger, those days are over. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Hominick's battle at UFC 129 is, I think, one of the most heroic performances I've seen in sport. You say what to that? Alex in Brampton.
Hey, how's it going? I just want to bring up, it was a hockey player on Chicago a couple of years ago. I guess he broke his finger and came back 10 minutes later and played the rest of the playoffs with it. His name escapes me, but that was unbelievable. I can't believe he did that.
Memories of Bobby Bond. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Beautiful Dale in Mississauga. How are you, brother?
Good. Good to call in. It's a good topic. When you were talking about this, I'm thinking of like heroic performances, and then you said something about performances that get you out of your seat. When I think of heroic performances, of course, one of the things I think about was Kirk Gibson hitting that home run off Eckersley for the Dodgers. That was pretty amazing. But when I think of once performances that get me out of my seat, one of the ones that goes, I've been around a while, it was when the Lakers had Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and they were playing the Golden State Warriors in the first, the first round of playoffs, and they beat the Warriors like 4-1. But the one game that the Warriors won, a guard out of Georgetown named Sleepy Floyd, He just took me totally off my feet. The guy, every shot he put up, I think he got almost 60 points, and Magic and Kareem were at their best. The Lakers were at their best, and no matter what they did, Floyd would come down, and it didn't matter who they put on him. They double or triple teamed him. Afterwards, he said the basket looked as big as a garbage can. It was, it was amazing to watch an athlete that in tune with the game and the ball. Yeah,
it's a special time. And the other thing, Dale, it's a special time when you see an athlete owning things. Like Halak last year, that was heroic performance, wasn't it? That's up there with some of the all-time great performances in sport. There's something, though, interesting about solo sports and the binary component of athlete and nemesis. Just two guys, right? And you've got a guy down. It's like a movie script, isn't it? Like the first Rocky movie where the guy's down and all of a sudden he finds another gear, you know, and swings wildly and the punch connects. That's sort of what we were talking about with Hominick. Rocky, like, feeding off the crowd, willing himself on top of the guy who really figured that Hominick was done. Aldo figured that was it. He had the fight. So as much as I appreciate what Joe Carter did and still love it, there's something about one guy with no one else. There is no team, just him. And you're in front of 60,000 people, your friends, your family, everybody, recorded for all time. If you stink, it's always there. Like, think about that. And you've trained and trained and trained, and all of a sudden, you're deformed in the ring. You know it looks bad. He didn't know how bad it looked. Thank God. I mean, it might have distracted him. But all he could think about was trying to prevail, trying to get on top of his opponent and whoop him and down him, take him out, no matter what. Kamikaze. Didn't matter the cost. He was willing to go the distance to the extremes of his body and his endurance. It was amazing. I didn't think that Hominick could come back, and come back he did. I mean, that was a special performance. Aaron in Toronto, you say what?
Well, you know, we got to talking to this heroic performances based on what Hominick did Saturday night, and I was there on my feet with everyone else. But, you know, if you take a closer look at the sport of mixed martial arts, this kind of stuff does happen pretty frequently. Just to make two examples that, you know, had me on my feet, you know, watching that Anderson Silva-Chael Sonnen fight a couple months back. You know, Anderson Silva's a guy who many say is on par with GSP as pound-for-pound fighter, best fighter in the world. And Chael Sonnen took it to him for 4 rounds and 4 minutes and got submitted with approximately 30 seconds left in a fight that he was dominating. Another example of mixed martial arts heroic. You know, the fight that put the UFC on the map, the Stephen Bonner-Forrest Griffin fight. A brilliant fight that just went back and forth and really, as I said, put the UFC on the map. So, you know, UFC fans take a lot of slack for being, you know, bloodthirsty, crazy. But, you know, as a true sports fan, which I am, you know, it's these come-from-behind victories or these heroic moments, which really, you know, do happen quite frequently.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it. There are special performances, though. They're not that frequent. And, okay, I'll turn the clock back further. Henderson, Ali. I mean, Henderson got 3 game-winning goals before the final one. Well, 3 including the final one. And Ali in Manila? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 416-870-590, 888-666-0590, *590 on yourself. So where would you place the Hominick athletic exercise Saturday night? Where would you place his performance? Is it up there with some of the great performances? I mean, have you seen a head like that? And then the comeback? I haven't. Chris in Kitchener.
Yeah, hi. I haven't seen Hominick, the fight from the weekend, but I got to second your last caller. And actually, the 2 Bonner-Griffin fights were outstanding. But I'm going to go to the other side of the skating world and maybe put on a tutu here. But I think Joanie Rochette's performance after her mom died was phenomenal, just to stay on her feet. And if you remember back to 2002 in Salt Lake, I think Jamie Selle got wiped out by the Russian skater in the warm-up, and then they came back and win the gold. I thought that was pretty amazing on both parts. What say you?
Well, what I'll say to that is I think that, you know, it's all how you look at it in life, isn't it, right? The death of her mother could have made her wallow in a despair from which she couldn't arise. Instead, she thought about all the times her mother took her to the rink. She thought about all the times her mother cheered her on. She thought about all the times they talked about skates or buying skates or trainers. The fact that she felt her mother's presence when she was out there. That it would honor her mother for her to be at her best. So she took a huge distraction and she channeled it saying, Mom would want me to win. Mom would want me to do the best possible performance I could do. And in her honor, I'm going to go out and I'm going to nail it. She said she felt her mother watching her. And at the end of the day, isn't the best thing you can do to honor your parents is to do well, to be happy, to succeed, to push your way past the turkeys who shake their head at you and don't want to give you a chance? We always have to fight our way through the turkeys. 416-870-590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We're going to take a break. We're going to take more of your calls. Greatest athletic performances of all time. I mean, maybe you think I'm gilding this lily, but for me, what Hominick did was superhuman. The fact a homeboy feeding off the crowd was exactly what I wanted to see. The sincere, what you see is what you get, decent Mark Hominick, about to be a new father, stole the show at UFC 129, in my opinion. We'll talk about your favorite, most heroic performances in the world of sports right after this quick break, right here on the Andrew Crystal Show, on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club.
Join today at fan590.com. Now more of the Andrew Crystal Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
But, you know, that's just it. I was giving everything I had in my effort to finish the fight because I knew I was down. You know, aside from the knockdown, you know, I believe it was pretty close, you know, throughout the fight. He just had heavy hands, and, you know, anytime he landed a clean punch, he did damage, and I think that was the difference in the fight.
There was Mark Hominick. Just had Mark Hominick on, the man who stole the show for UFC 129 on Saturday night at the Rogers Center. Aldo laying into him with those heavy hands. So then the hematosis factory started on his forehead, and they didn't stop the fight. He continued and almost whooped him. He's got him down. He is sitting on him, laying those hammer blows, raining them down on Aldo's face. Aldo's face was a mess. Hominick's face is a mess. These two guys really were warriors. But Mark Hominick gave, I think, one of the most heroic performances I've seen in sport. What are yours? 416-870-590, 888-666-0590, *590. And a few minutes, we'll bring in Howard Berger to talk about the Predators tonight against the Canucks. I want to see the Predators prevail against Vancouver. I know a lot of you Canucks fans are upset at me, but this is the way I'm rolling. And I want to know if the Predators can do it again. All right, let's go to John and Tio. John, most heroic performance you've seen is what?
I think when you got to think back to, it was just recently last year, Russia at the World Juniors. I mean, they're basically in Canada's backyard, just in Buffalo, the wannabe Canadians. And, you know, I just think that that comeback in the third period has got to be up there.
Five goals in the third.
Yeah, no kidding. But you can't forget Nicklaus in 86 at the Masters.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. 416-870-590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. I'm thinking less of a team thing, though, and more of a single performance. I cited Wayne Gretzky's Game 7 against Toronto in 93, where he's willed the Kings over the Leafs. Let's go to Brian.
Hey, Andrew, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm well. Thanks for calling Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
You know, one that stood out for me, I mean, I'm a sports fan, old school, but I got to tell you that, I don't know if you remember it, but when the Hawaiian triathlons first started, and that girl, it was the second one, just collapsed about 20 yards from the line, mind gone, legs gone, everything gone, and she crawled to the finish line.
Oh my God.
That still blows me away that I actually remember that, because I can't remember anything else in life, but that blew me away.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. It was a hell of a performance. Gary in Mississauga.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, biggest thing for me that I can remember, I'm not as old as a lot of the callers, but Mark Messier in the playoffs guaranteeing the wins. He really stepped up.
Well, it was a huge event in 94 in New York City. You know, you had Captain Trevor there doing a great job, and, you know, the Canucks came so close in Game 7. But Messier I willed that win. He gave New York the cup.
Yeah, you know, but to come out and publicly guarantee, that could have really blown up in his face.
Now, I have to say, I don't know, for me, and this is before GP8 water, I think Nick Kiprios, you know, I think he was the real, he carried the Rangers. Messier was a freeloader. The real deal was Nick Kiprios. You know, Nick Kiprios, you know, Messier has been riding on Kiprios' coattails for far too long, and I want to call this one out. Nick is the real deal. Messier was a freeloader. All right, maybe not. 416-870-590, 888-666-0590, *590 in your cell. Mr. Berger will join us in just a minute. Sean and Vaughn.
Hi, how are you today?
Best athletic performance.
I would have to say, after Dale Earnhardt passed, Kevin Harvick taking over his ride and winning that race and doing the number three out on the field.
What about Curt Schilling's performance? Do you remember when it was bleeding a leg, the tendon that was gone?
Yeah, that was a good performance.
That was a good one.
It's a more of a team thing too, right?
I guess. Yeah, I mean, but although the pitcher is sort of alone up there, I mentioned Gretzky. I think that when you are in a solo sport, whether it's, you know, tennis or wrestling or boxing or MMA, that can lend itself to more heroics because you've got absolutely nothing else except yourself. But, you know, you think about what Gretzky did to the Leafs in Game 7. That was pretty heroic. You take Gretzky out of the equation, you know, there is no LA Kings. There is no Game 7. Ryan in Hamilton.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. Most heroic performance, what?
I'm going to have to say when Steve Yzerman blew his knee out in 0-2 and then went on to win a Stanley Cup and a gold medal.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good one. Thank you very much for that. Let's take a couple more, and then I'm going to bring the burglar Howard Berger on. 416-870-590, 1-888-666-0590, Dave and Barry.
How's it going? I just wanted to say, what about Byron Leftwich in college when he played with a broken leg?
Marshall University?
Yeah.
Good one. Thanks for your call. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. John!
Hi. So, anytime Federer and Nadal went at each other, it's boxing without violence.
Federer is amazing.
And then the other one, just to throw in, Bo Jackson at third base. And you're the catcher.
And he's running for you. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. We'll just take, I think, Sal in Georgetown. We'll take him. And then we'll go to Mr. B. Sal.
Hi there.
Lay it on me.
I want to say Kobe's 81 points against the Raptors. I know it's not playoffs, but still pretty unbelievable.
Well, unfortunately, though, it was against the Raptors, so you're disqualified. I mean, you have to play against a real team, don't you? Okay, it's 2:49 now, and it's time that the burglar, Howard Berger, joins us. I want you to talk, and the topic police intervened because I'm shifting gears here. I want to talk about the Nashville Predators, and I want to talk about the Vancouver Canucks tonight, Howard. Will Nashville do it again?
Well, hi, Andrew. Can I, before I answer that, can I throw my heroic performance in there?
I didn't want you to, but go ahead. I know you won't. Not really, because I really want to move on, but go ahead.
The hell with you then. I think Nashville is going to play very
well
tonight.
No, I don't want to disappoint you. Go ahead. You've been listening. You were very patient. Very patient.
I'm on the phone here. It's very difficult to get even with you on the phone from a distance. I will have my chance probably tomorrow.
No, look, you've been patient listening to the other callers. You tell me your performance. Go ahead.
Well, heroic to me doesn't necessarily mean only athletic achievement. I mean, the one that comes to mind automatically, there's probably tens of them if you think about it, but Brett Favre playing for the Green Bay Packers in a Monday night game at Oakland several years ago and throwing for 400 some odd yards in a victory over the Raiders one day after his father died. To me, that you've got to sort of combine the two, either something emotional in your life that you're somehow incredibly able to put aside for a few hours and perform the way he did that night, or if there's some injury that you can somehow overcome to win a big game. I just attended a press conference with the Canadian Football League in terms of awareness of concussions and what their protocol and strategy is moving forward. And the legendary CFL quarterback Matt Dunnigan, I remember 20 years ago this coming November, being in Winnipeg, three or four of the coldest days of my life, watching Matt Dunnigan and covering Dunnigan, Rocket Ismail, and the Toronto Argonauts against the Calgary Stampeders in the 91 Grey Cup, and Dunnigan, injured the week before in the Eastern Final at Rogers Centre here, plays and wins the Grey Cup with a broken collarbone. And I don't think any player's ever done that. Certainly no quarterback has done that. They shot him up. He won the Grey Cup with a broken collarbone. That, to me, is what heroism
I got,
is.
No, that's nothing compared to what I've got for you.
What do you got?
I am third in the Fan 590 hockey pool. Rob Wong is at 149 at second place. I'm at 148. And Jeff Blair, 153.
You being third, I was going to suggest it'd be more of a comment on others in the pool, but congratulations.
No, there we go. So all I say to you other Fan 590 employees, to you, I'm number three, and you suck. And guess what? I'm going to win this pool. You watch. Now let's talk about.
With chicken?
A box lunch and a 10-minute start. That's what
I thought. Chicken, something.
That's the price. No, stop the chicken fixation. Yeah. Tell me what's going on. I'm sitting there with my pretzels watching the Nashville Predators tonight at 9 o'clock. Are they going to beat Vancouver?
Well, you're going to love the atmosphere, just like it was in Philadelphia last night. And, yes, I think they will give Vancouver – I don't know if they're going to beat them. Who knows what's going to happen in a game. But it will be another close, low-scoring game. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nashville scored the first goal. And if Nashville scores the second goal very quickly on Roberto Luongo, it could get ugly. But I think Nashville will be in this game completely. We saw Philly last night. You called it yesterday, Andrew. You and I were in the studio. You thought that the emotion coming off the murder or killing death of whatever you want to call it of Bin Laden the day before, being in Philadelphia with God Bless America, would get the Flyers going, and it did. Philly scored the first two goals of the game. Turns out the only two goals they scored in the first 10 minutes and 30 seconds. And should have won that game if not for the typical difference in goaltending between the Flyers and just about everybody else. Tonight, yeah, it'll be a great Nashville potentially has that edge again with Pecorine against Roberto Luongo. So if they get two goals tonight early, we could be looking at another Chicago-type romp over the Canucks, though I wouldn't bet on that.
Let's talk about the most overrated NHL player of all time, Roberto Luongo.
We have discussed him, haven't we? I don't know. I wouldn't call him the most overrated player of all time. He did win Game 7 against the Blackhawks, made a big save, timely save.
No. I'm right on this one. That's okay.
But he's in the second round. And he's up against an equal or better goaltender in Pecorine right now, equal or better than Corey Crawford. Depending on your point of view, the Blackhawks are a better team or not than the Nashville Predators. I think Nashville's a different type of team, maybe not as high-end talent-wise, but certainly a rugged team, a team that plays a different style than the Blackhawks. And yet it has some guys that we don't all know about that can score goals. So, again, Vancouver has to weather the first 10 minutes tonight, score the first goal itself, and the Canucks will be in that game a lot longer than if the opposite occurs.
I think Weber's hacked hand is bothering him.
His what?
Hacked hand.
Hacked hand. I thought he was going to say something about his beard. Well, I don't know. Weber is a guy that is an offensive defenseman. And offensive players in a Vancouver-Nashville series, I don't know that they're going to stand out. Hacked hand, good hand or not. There are players on each team that can score goals. We all know who they are, including the two from Sweden that you've talked about an awful lot and that finished, 1-2 in NHL scoring this year. Haven't done much in the playoffs. The talent is there, but the style of these games between these teams dating to the regular season, probably to last season, and what we saw in the first two games of this playoff series, we're not going to see a lot of offense.
Which team is a tougher test for the Canucks, Chicago or the Predators?
That depends on how Vancouver reacts to the style of the Predators. And the games have been too close to call so far. Chicago, when Vancouver wasn't playing well, could put 6 and 7 goals behind Roberto Luongo. When the Predators aren't playing well, I'm not certain the same thing is going to happen. So this might be a better matchup because it may not expose what you talk about in the goaltending, but Nashville can beat you other ways. They can beat you by holding on very effectively to a one-goal lead for many, many moments at a time. The Blackhawks aren't quite as good at doing that. Different type of opponent, and each had challenges. I think overall Vancouver is a better team. I think they'll prevail, but it'll be a long series, and they have to obviously win at least one of these two games at Bridgestone Arena.
What's going on with my Capitals? The intensity's gone. What's going on?
Well, they've got to get it back, and they've got to start it tonight. A lot of times we've seen it. We saw it in the Montreal-Boston series. I mentioned several examples, Andrew, of teams winning the first two games of the series on the road and then losing either 4 in a row or 4 out of 5. The Leafs have done it 3 times in the past generation. That Tampa Bay team better be ready because it's do or die for the Capitals tonight, the old saying, can't go down 3-love. And so I suspect that this will be the toughest game for Tampa Bay, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Washington won. That seems to be a pattern recently, and we saw it in the Montreal series. Won the first two in Boston. Bruins came back to Montreal and tied it up.
What's happened with the Tampa Bay Lightning is, you know, their stars, Le Cavalier, have gotten the Lightning. But what's going on with Washington? The Capitals, their stars are just not there.
Yeah, well, Ovechkin's
decent, but the other guys...
Yeah. But part of it, Andrew, is Dwayne Roloson at 41 or 42 years of age. I mean, he's playing terrific goal right now. We've seen that. We've seen almost a Hall of Fame standard of goaltending from him periodically. during his career, usually when he played for the Islanders against the Maple Leafs in any arena. At least he'd get 60 shots on him and lose 2-1.
All right.
Seen that standard. I don't know. I think they have to.
And Backstrom. Backstrom is asleep. It's a disgrace. Yeah. Howard Berger, thank you for that.
All right, take care, man.
We'll see if the Capitals can climb back into the series. They're going to Tampa Bay, down 2-0 to the Lightning. Oh, boy. Washington needs more from its stars. Anyway, and Canucks and Predators play the third game of their series in Nashville tonight. It's going to the defensive battle will continue. We expect that. When I come back, you're going to meet Mark Napier, two-time Stanley Cup champion, talking about head injuries and what he's doing about it. This is Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.